कुंज विहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन ब्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रजजनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 10th चैप्टर टाइटल डिपार्चर ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा टू द्वारका Verse number 18 and 19. We'll read and repeat verse number 18. Uddhava Satyakischaiva Vyajane Paramadbhute Vikiryamanah Kusumai Reje Madhupatipati उद्धवस्सात्यकिश्चैव व्यजने परमाद्भुते विकीर्यमानः कुसुमैः రేజే మధుపతిపతి ఉద్ధవ సాత్యకిశ్చైవ వ్యజనే పరమాద్భుతే వికీర్యమాణః కుసుమై రేజే మధుపతిపతి. సాత్యకిశ్చైవ వ్యజనే పరమాద్భుతే వికీర్యమానః కుసుమై రేజే మధుపతిపతి. ఉద్ధవ సాత్యకిశ్చైవ వ్యజనే పరమాద్భుతే వికీర్యమానః కుసుమై రేచే మధుపతి పతి. మాతాజీ ఉద్ధవ సాత్యకిశ్చైవ వ్యజనే పరమాద్భుతే వికీర్యమానః కుసుమై రేజే మధుపతి పతి. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్, ఉద్ధవ ఎ కజిన్ బ్రదర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణాస్, సాత్యకి హిస్ డ్రైవర్, చ అండ్ ఏవ సర్టన్లీ, వ్యజనే ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ ఫ్యానింగ్, పరమాద్భుతే డెకొరేటివ్, వికీర్యమాణః సీటర్డ్ ఆన్ స్కాటర్డ్, సీటెడ్ ఆన్ స్కాటర్డ్, కుసుమైహి ఫ్లవర్స్ ఆల్ అరౌండ్, రేజే కమాండెడ్, మధుపతిహి ది మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ మధు కృష్ణ, పతి ఆన్ ద రోడ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ఉద్ధవ అండ్ సాత్యకి బిగాన్ టు ఫ్యాన్ ద లార్డ్ విత్ డెకొరేటెడ్ ఫ్యాన్స్ అండ్ ద లార్డ్ యాజ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ మధు seated on scattered flowers commanded them along the road. 19th verse, because 18th verse does not have a purport, we will read 19th also.
Ashroyantashishas satyas tatra tatra dvijeritah nanurupanurupascha nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Translation: it was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute who was now playing the part of a human being. Purport: at places there were sounds of Vedic benediction aiming at the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. The benedictions were fitting in the sense that the Lord was playing the part of a human being, as if a cousin of Maharaj Yudhishthir, but they were also unfitting because the Lord is absolute and has nothing to do with any kind of material relativities. He is Nirguna, or there are no material qualities in him, but he is full of transcendental qualities. In the transcendental world, there is nothing contradictory, whereas in the relative world, everything has its opposite. In the relative world, white is the opposite conception of black. But in the transcendental world, there is no distinction between white and black. Therefore, the sounds of benedictions uttered by the learned Brahmanas here and there appear to be contradictory in relation with the absolute person, but when they are applied to the absolute person, they lose all contradiction and become transcendental. One example may clear this idea. Lord Shri Krishna is sometimes described as a thief. He is very famous amongst his pure devotees as Makan Chor. He used to steal butter amongst his pure devotees as the Makan Chor. He used to steal butter from the houses of neighbors at Vrindavan in his early age. Since then, he is famous as a thief. But in spite of his being famous as a thief, he is worshipped as a thief, whereas in the mundane world, a thief is punished and is never praised. Since he is the absolute personality of Godhead, everything is applicable to him. And still, in spite of all contradictions, he is the supreme personality of Godhead.
Om Ajnanattimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा So, I will honestly admit that after coming to Krishna consciousness, of many things towards which I feel great awe and reverence, probably the one object towards which I feel the most awe and reverence is Radha Gopinath Temple's Vyasasan. Because, I've heard His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and many exalted disciples of Srila Prabhupada sitting together and speaking from this Vyasasan. So, I never thought one day I'll get an opportunity to sit here and speak. It's quite embarrassing. Actually, in Sri Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when he is talking about the third offense to the holy name, Guru Ravagya, disrespecting the Guru or not following the instructions of the Guru. One of the points that he makes is that one of the offenses is to use the objects which have been used by one's own Guru. It is a big offense actually. So, and he especially mentions the seat of the Guru, the Vyasasana. So, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, while commenting on this particular aspect which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, he says that many of the principles, ideal principles which are mentioned in the scriptures, including this one principle of one should never use the objects used by one's own spiritual master. In today's day and age, in the current ISKCON setup, it may not be possible. And he gives the example of Vyasasana. So, in the traditional system, in a guru's mutt, The Vyasasana is used only by the Guru and not by anyone else. So that's a specific asana just for him. But in a typical ISKCON temple setup, then you, not only do we use the Guru's asana, but after that we leave that asana to be used by the Guru also later. So which is, you know, all the more offensive in one sense. So His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj says that yes, lot of the ideal principles mentioned in the Shastras may not be practically applicable in today's scenario, but at least that should not discourage one from knowing the ideal standards. And if one is not able to follow those ideal standards, one should at least feel deep remorse and regret. And that deep remorse and regret can offset the offense of actually one's inability to follow that principle. So, I mean, I honestly feel quite embarrassed to sit here and speak. So, but just following the order, I'll speak something. So, in this particular verse, it is mentioned by the second verse, that was not the verse that we read and repeated, but in the second verse, actually it is mentioned that the Brahmanas of Dwaraka, Hastinapur, they are offering benedictions to Krishna. So, may you live long, may you live a healthy life, like that. And here, it is mentioned that such benedictions are na anurupa anurupascha. They are both unbefitting and befitting. And Srila Prabhupada writes, it is unbefitting because the Supreme Lord needs no one's benediction. He is the one who offers benedictions to everyone. He is not within the three modes. He is not of this material world. He is not dependent on anyone's benedictions. But at the same time, it is anurupa, because he is also playing the role of the younger cousin of Yudhishthir Maharaj and the nephew of his uncles, the grandson of his grandfathers, like that. So, in that sense, it is anurupa. It is appropriate. So, I will just read a few comments to this verse by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the blessings are described as satya, true, because Krishna never deviates from those descriptions. But the blessings were both inappropriate and appropriate, na anurupa and anurupa. From the point of view of Lord's powers, His Aishwarya, blessings such as be happy, Krishna please be happy, are inappropriate. For one who is without material qualities and he is also full of spiritual bliss, so he is not dependent on anyone's blessings to be happy. So considering Krishna's Aishwarya, it is na anurupa. It is not appropriate to bless Krishna. We cannot bless Krishna. But from the point of view of sweetness, the same blessings are appropriate for the Lord who has spiritual qualities such as being controlled by devotee's prema. His brithya vashyata. He is controlled by his devotee's prema. And he is also devoted to the brahmanas. So, therefore the words are appropriate. Because the Lord replies, I am always happy with your blessings. In that sense, he says, I bless you, Krishna. He says, I am dependent on your blessings. Thank you very much. That is Krishna's reply, and he means it. So, which describe his qualities should not be false. He is not faking it. It is real. So today we will discuss on this theme, and incidentally I have been speaking on this theme in our Brahmachari classes also. So I will sort of repeat some of the things, or maybe many of the things. So the theme that we are going to discuss is, yes, these kind of blessings are both inappropriate and appropriate, but it is first important to thoroughly understand why they are inappropriate before we try to understand how they are actually appropriate. Which means, in other words, it is important to identify and appreciate the Aishwarya of Krishna, the prowess of Krishna, before trying to appreciate his sweet relationships with the devotees, where the devotees can chastise him, devotees can give him blessings, devotees can pull his legs, climb on his shoulders. This is all true and Krishna relishes. But before we understand that, we have to first appreciate and internalize Krishna's supremacy. That is why, if you see even in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna in the middle 6 chapters glorifies the path of bhakti, and then talking about bhakti, even in the 9th chapter, which is titled as the most confidential knowledge. So one might wonder, he must be speaking something about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. But he says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshwavastitah. He talks about Krishna's purushavatar leela only. How he pervades, how he maintains this material universe. I mean, is that the most confidential knowledge? One might wonder. But what is most confidential, what is less confidential, depends on the adhikar of the person who is hearing it. So if someone does not have the adhikar to hear the most confidential knowledge, then that most confidential knowledge has no utility for that person. So therefore, and then he continues, and even the Krishna's reciprocation with his intimate devotees in Bhagavad Gita, that 9th chapter, which is considered to be the most confidential knowledge, is mentioned only in principles, but not in detail. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. So he says in principle, but not in detail. Yes, I personally carry what he lacks, and I personally protect what he has. And he speaks it in such a way that we might very easily miss out the fact that he personally does it to his devotees. Vahami. So unless we are attentive, we may miss out that point that Krishna is giving that assurance that I will personally do it, which is very significant. So the point is, it is very important to understand the pastimes of that the Lord performs, which actually exhibit his powers and which establishes his supremacy. That's very, very critical to hear and internalize these things before we actually endeavor to understand the higher pastimes. In the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, the primary description is Sarga Visarga Sthanam. Primary creation, secondary creation, how the universe is, the universal cosmology, and mostly it is Purushavatar Katha. The discussion is about the Purushavataras. And towards the end of 5th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami is going to just complete this description, and 6th canto, Poshanam, Krishna's personal dealings with his devotees, how he personally protects, those kind of more personal katha, some Leelavatar katha is more prominently going to manifest. But just 5.26.40 is the last verse of 5th canto. In 5.26.38, just two verses before the last verse, Shukadeva Goswami speaks something very interesting, which also we might, in the eagerness to start reading Ajamil's pastime, we might miss it out. So he says, this is a prose verse, as in the case of 5th canto, most of the verses are prose. So he says, I will just read the translation. Adav eva vyakhyatah, he says. In the beginning, which means in the second and third canto, he is summarizing, Shukadeva Goswami, what I have taught to you till now, I hope you have internalized these subject matters. Adav eva vyakhyatah. In the beginning, I have spoken in the second, third and other cantos. Nivritti lakshana marga, the path of liberation. How by the path of jnana and yoga one attains liberation. This is described by in the second canto, in the second, third chapters, the sadhyo mukti, the immediate mukti that the yogis attain by the practice of yoga. And he talks about the krama mukti, which is gradual path of liberation. And then in the third canto, in Kapiladeva's teachings also, he talks about how the jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis attain liberation by their practice. He mentions that. So he says, I have spoken about that. Puraneshu andakoshayah chaturdasha vikalpita upagiyate. In the Puranas, the universe, which is divided into 14 parts, is described as Bhagavato Narayanasya stavishtam rupam, the gross form of Lord Narayana. The Virat form or the universal form is mentioned to be the gross form of Lord Narayana. Atma maya gunamayam, which is made of is material nature only. The form of the Lord, the Virat Purusha, is made of matter. Okay. It is called the gross form of the Lord. So he is talking not just about the universal form, but the personalities who animate the universal form, which are the Purushavataras. Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, Garbhodhaka Sai Vishnu and Karanodhaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. So he says, Adritaha Anuvarnitam. If one reads these descriptions, Adritaha, with faith, with respect. Adritaha Patati, if one reads them with faith. Adritaha Shrunoti, if one hears them with faith. And Adritaha Shravayati, if one narrates it to others with faith. Which means basically Purushavatar Leela. If one hears, reads and narrates it to others with faith, he says three things happen. Shraddha, Bhakti, Vishuddha Buddhi. He says one develops Shraddha, faith. Faith here refers to a higher level of faith which is needed to assimilate the higher pastimes. Then he says Bhakti. One develops a more mature devotion to understand the higher pastimes. And Vishuddha Buddhi, it cleanses the intelligence of all the contaminations which would obstruct us from approaching the higher pastimes. He says, if one with faith hears, narrates and reads these Purushavatar Leela, one develops this faith, higher bhakti and purified intelligence. For what? He says, Saha Veda Bhagavataha Upageyam. He can understand the topics of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. Which he says is Agrahyam. Agrahyam literally means which cannot be understood. But here he says, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur translates it as Agrahyam means which like Upanishad is very difficult to understand. So basically what Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning here is Srishti Leela is easy to understand. Leelavatar Kata is difficult to understand. And Srishti Leela, to approach it with the right faith and respect is a prerequisite to approach the Leelavatar Katha. But generally we have the opposite understanding. We find Srishti Leela most difficult. What is this Mahatattva? What is this Pradhan? And you know, universes coming out of the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. All kinds of questions we get, you know. Do all the universes simultaneously come out from the pores? Or is it that, and simultaneously enter back into the pores? Or is it that, you know, they come one after another? Is it that when it is time for Srishti for one universe, is it, could it be time for Pralaya for another universe? You know, all these kinds of, and how does it really happen? You know, and all the thing, you know, what is this glance of Mahavishnu and all that? It seems very difficult. Whereas Krishna stealing butter, Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis seem very relishable, relatable, you know, quite juicy, you know, very difficult to fall asleep in such katha. But if Pavaneshwar Prabhu describes Vedic cosmology, you know, because Pavaneshwar Prabhu describes, you know, it is easy to stay awake. But otherwise, the subject matter itself may not be very attractive generally. Right? So, Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this, in this purport, Prabhupada writes, the Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam as explained especially for the understanding of modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. So, Prabhupada, especially so many times he mentions that we are not presenting Srimad Bhagavatam for anyone's sensual gratification. We are presenting it in a systematic way which will gradually elevate one to higher levels of consciousness. Right? So, we have to understand why this kind of a presentation where Leelavatar Katha are said to be more difficult to understand than Purushavatar Katha. While our own experience seems to be contradictory. So, the reason is that even though Purushavatar Katha may seem little technical, but the devotional maturity that is needed to understand and approach Purushavatar Katha is very minimal. But the devotional maturity that is needed to approach Leelavatar Katha is very high. Because pastimes of the Purushavataras do not involve rasa. And pastimes of Leelavatara involve rasa. Even in Varahadev fighting with Hiranyaksha, there involves something called Virya Rasa. Which is quite different from any of the material emotions. But in Srishti Leela, there is no involvement of rasa. So, even though it may seem little intellectually challenging, the devotional maturity which is actually needed to understand and appreciate Purushavatar Katha is minimal. That is why that comes early. So, Purushavatar Katha means actually, you know, in one sense, approaching the Paramatma. Because the Purushavataras are all Paramatma expansions. Right? So, towards the end of second canto, when Shukadeva Goswami has described full Srishti Leela in detail, Purushavatar Leela. Towards the end, he tells Parikshit Maharaj a very interesting verse. He says, Ittam Bhavena Katito Bhagavan Bhagavat Tamaha Netam Bhavena Hi Param Drashtum Arhanti Surayaha. He says, Ittam Bhavena Katito. My dear Parikshit Maharaj, I have described this Srishti Leela to you in detail. The Purushavataras are involved in maintaining creation, maintenance and destruction of this material universe. To see, understand and appreciate the Lord as the creator needs very high qualification, he says. Ittam bhavena katito bhagavan bhagavattamah. The very great devotees appreciate the Lord as the creator. But na ittam bhavena hi param drashtum arhanti suraya. But there are still elevated devotees who get to appreciate the Supreme Lord not just as the creator but also as a person who is Akila Rasamrita Murti, who is the personification of all rasas. And Leelavatar Katha is performed, Leelavatar Leela is performed on the platform of rasa. So to properly grasp Leelavatar Leela, we need to have an understanding of spiritual emotions, rasa. That is why Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the beginning of Madhurya Kadambini, he writes in his Mangalacharan, Bhakti Purvai Shritastamtu Rasam Pashyed Yadattadi Tam Naumi Satatam Rupa Nama Priyajanam Harehe. He says, many, many devotees have come, taken shelter of the path of bhakti, attained perfection, and established a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas and experienced that rasa of that relationship with Krishna. I offer my obeisances to all those devotees. But I reserve my special repeated obeisances to one personality. That is Srila Rupa Goswami. Tam Naumi Satatam Rupa Nama Priyajanam Harehe. To that one personality I offer repeated obeisances. Why? Because Rasam Pashyedya Dattadi. Because he has given the eyes for sadhaka devotees to see and at least theoretically understand and appreciate spiritual emotions through his writings like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Before Srila Rupa Goswami, the kind of work that he has presented as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is unprecedented in any of the sampradayas. A systematic explanation of what happens in the hearts of perfected devotees and in the hearts of Krishna when they are exchanging pleasantries, exchanging relationships with each other. What exactly is happening? As Radhika Valla Prabhu was mentioning the other day, you know, vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, sanchari bhav, sthayi bhav. While material emotions are triggered by three modes and our response is also within three modes, but they look quite similar. That is why Leelavatar Katha is very deceptive, because they look very human. So therefore we think that it is human. It is performed by a human being. Like recently I was sharing this point and someone shared with me that Prabhuji, many pastimes of Krishna I like, but some pastimes are very hard to digest. Like, and the devotee said, like when Krishna enters Mathura and he goes and asks for clothes from the dhobi does not give him clothes. And he slaps that dhobi and kills that dhobi. Abhi Prabhuji, is Krishna dependent on clothes, especially Kamsa's clothes? And the dhobi didn't really know whether it was Krishna or not. Why should Krishna do like this? Right? So which means in reality, it is not that some pastimes are difficult to digest. In reality, we have not digested any pastimes. Because Krishna's internal wiring is not like any other human being's internal wiring. That you don't give something to him, he will become offended, and at the next given opportunity, he will try to retaliate. So, this avajananti mam muda manushim tanum ashritam is not just for the non-devotees. This mentality, devotees can also carry by bringing down Krishna to our level. Which is very natural. Which is what happens when we don't understand the Aishwarya of Krishna properly and are convinced about it. I remember when once I was standing in Borivali station waiting for a train, and one person came and he asked me, Prabhuji, aap kaun hai, kidhar hai, you know, what you are doing. Oh, very nice, bahut acha kar rahe and all that. And then he said, Prabhuji, jab se Radha ji hamara duniya mein hai na, pura jeevan mera parivartan ho gaya pura. So I thought he must have been connected to devotees. I thought, very good, really very good. Then he said, bar he was telling, about something about Krishna, but then he said, ek mahine se Radha ji hamara ghar pe hai aur sab mera jeevan parivartan ho gaya. So I thought, oh, you know, Radha Krishna deities have very high standards, you know, but I cannot tell him also because I just know him. But then I thought, okay, maybe after some time when he comes in touch with devotees, someone will tell. I don't have to tell anyway. I'm waiting for my train. But then I was just curious because he was, kesa parivartan ho gaya aapka, you know, how this transformation has happened, I just asked. Radha ji roj mera time pe breakfast bana deti hai aur kapda upda do leti hai. Then I thought, it took me some time to realize that he was actually talking about his wife. Addressing her as Radha ji, like that. You know. So, which means, same hai na? Matlab, same thing Radharani does for Krishna, cooks for him, and so, ye hamara Radha ji hai, matlab. So, I mean, we may not go to that level, but in one sense, that tendency can be there when we say that, why should Krishna do like this? You know, as if, you know, his internal wiring is also made of, you know, as the same internal wiring that we have. You know, someone denies us something, then kamat krodho bijayate. Like that. But Krishna, for Krishna, it is not like that. Right? So therefore, we have to understand that in spiritual reality, spiritual emotions are completely different. They are not the same, but they look very similar. And they can be very deceptive, these pastimes. They can be quite deceptive. We will just see some examples. Already it's 9 o'clock. So, I will just give some examples. The first example that we will take is about Uddhava, which is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, the scene is that Narada Muni is traveling. This is Narada Muni's journey. Narada Muni is traveling everywhere with the desire to find out who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So, he meets many people, many devotees. Finally, he comes to Dwaraka. And he meets the Yadus and he says, you are the greatest recipients. The Yadus say, maybe, but there is one person who is exceptional amongst all of us, that is Uddhava. Because Krishna sometimes leaves our company, but he never leaves Uddhava's company. So you should go there. So when he goes to meet Uddhava, and Uddhava understands very quickly, because Narada Muni starts glorifying Uddhava in that way. So as soon as Uddhava hears this, Uddhava immediately is inspired to think about the Vrajavasis. Because according to him, they were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. So, there this verse comes. I will directly read the translation. Aware of what Narada was thinking, he wanted to crown Uddhava as the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. But Uddhava cannot accept it because he felt it's not true. Uddhava remembered many devotees who had received the Lord's special favor. That were all the Vrajavasis. As Uddhava meditated on those devotees, their love for the Lord and the wealth of their loving ecstasies. Because Uddhava is not, spiritual ecstasies were not foreign to Uddhava. He was a perfected devotee, very dear to Krishna. But the kind of spiritual ecstasies that he saw the Vrajavasis exhibiting was completely mind-blowing. So, he felt distress when he meditated on the Vrajavasis, thinking himself fallen. And he cried helplessly. Then, Balramji and others, they pacified him, brought him back. Then it is mentioned that avadapya aha matsaryat satvikat pramudam gataha. It is mentioned that he was moved by matsarya. What is matsarya? Envy. Intolerance to others' progress. That's how it is mentioned. He could not tolerate the glory of the Vrajavasis. Matsarya. He was consumed by matsarya. That was the emotion. But here it is mentioned, material envy is a byproduct of which mode? It starts with Rajogun, but when it becomes intense, it degenerates to Tamogun. But here it is mentioned, Satvikat Matsaryat. He was consumed by the emotion of Satvik envy. I mean, what is this Satvik envy? You know, is there any envy that is born out of Sattva? Not in the material world. And generally, whenever someone experiences envy, what are the other concomitant emotions that he undergoes and people around him also experience? Anger, dissatisfaction, irritation, things like that. But here it is mentioned, Pramudam Gataha. He became joyful. Which person in the material world becomes joyfully envious? You know, it's like an oxymoron. There are two oxymorons here. Joyfully envious and Satvika envy. I mean, how can Satvik envy, you know, how can someone... So, and of course, this is not even material Sattva. This is spiritual Sattva. Right? So, and he experiences simultaneously dainya, that is also mentioned, humility. Can someone who is humble experience envy? In all these kinds of virodhabhas you see here. But actually this is not virodhabhas. The virodhabhas is in our thinking that Uddhava is at our level and he is experiencing emotions triggered by the three modes. Which is not true. Right? But they look very similar. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami describes the love of the Vrajavasis as Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti. Rupa means form. The form of love that the gopis have towards Krishna, he says, is Kama. It has the form of Kama. But Rupa, the real essence is Kama Rupa, but the real essence, Atma, is Raga, Ragatmika. What is Raga? Krishna Saukyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. Every endeavor is performed for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's why it is called as bhakti. So even though the form looks like kama, but the essence is different, right? It's like an eclairs, you know, eclairs chocolate, you know. It is caramel outside, but you keep sucking it inside, actually there is chocolate, right? Over a period of time you realize. So from an external point of view, it looks like kama. But in the material world, material kama is kama rupa, kamatmika, bhukti. The form is kama, the essence is also kama. Atmendriya Preeti. That's why it is bhukti. Otherwise, something which is kama rupa, how can it be bhakti? That's why Srila Rupa Goswami quotes one verse to substantiate this point in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Premaiva Gopa Ramanam Kamayit Agamat Pratam. He says, that which is called as kama in the relationship of the gopis with Krishna is in reality prema, he says. But it looks deceptively similar, very similar. But it is quite different. But the illusion is that every single person thinks that he understands these pastimes. Leela Avatar Katha. I remember this was my, when I was in the United States studying, this was my first exam. It was a thermodynamics exam, I remember. So it was that particular thermodynamics course needed a basic understanding of mechanical engineering thermodynamics. But I did not have mechanical engineering background. I did my metallurgical engineering. So that exam was there. I had a friend who was from mechanical engineering background, but we both were in the same department, material science. So in that particular exam, after the exam, we were just exchanging notes. I was quite happy. He was quite morose. He said, "Arey, kitna tough paper gaya, you know, very difficult paper." I said, "It was such an easy paper. Why did you feel, you know?" I felt easy. That sort of made him feel even more bad. Few days later, the answer sheet came. He had scored quite well. And I had not scored that well. Because what I thought was actually very easy, I had not even understood the question actually. But utsahamayi, false confidence, you know. I was so confident. Yeah, I aced the paper. But I did not even understand the question properly. What to speak of answering it. But I thought I understood, you know. That is why, you know, that is the nature of emotions, you know, spiritual emotions. Because they are deceptively similar to material emotions. Even material emotions between two persons, it is not very easy to understand because they develop their own language. You know, I was just sharing the other day. You know, even in a material relationship, you know, people develop their own language which seems like the language which others are speaking, but they can't understand. I'll give you an example. My mother has been serving food for my father for the last more than 40 years, four decades. So, my observation, my mother is serving, my father says, enough. And my mother serves one more spoon. And my father does not say anything. Right? Enough means baskaro. Then enough, in which dictionary enough means please serve me one more, right? So, but that is the language that they have developed over a period of decades of their relationship with each other. My father knows that if I need one more spoon, then before that I have to tell enough, and my mother knows if he says enough, it means one more spoon. That's the language that they have developed between the two of them. Few months back, I took them to the house of one devotee. Devotee had invited us. So, that Mataji was serving prasad. My father said, enough. She moved on to the next person. And then my mother said, nay, serve him one more spoon. And she was wondering, he just said enough. So my mother must have been thinking, you don't understand that language, you know. So this is even in material world. I mean, this is very mundane example, right? And this is, you know, even in this material world, when one has developed a relationship with someone, you know, they develop a language of their own, which others cannot understand. So here are devotees on that level of, you know, being qualified to have a relationship with Krishna. How can we hope to understand their language when they are speaking? That is why if you see in the earlier cantos, even though in Srishti Leela, you know, it seems quite technical, but there are, the commentaries are short by the acharyas when they write. But in the 10th canto, it's seemingly very simple leela. Acharyas are writing pages and pages of commentary with Krishna crawling. I mean, every child crawls. You don't need a commentary to explain crawling, right? But why such elaborate commentaries? You know, simple exchange which Krishna has. Why such elaborate commentaries? Not one. Jiva Goswami has written 4 or 5 commentaries for the 10th canto. There is Krama Sandarbha, then there is, he comments on the 10th canto in his Shat Sandarbhas also. He wrote Gopal Champu, then he wrote Lagu Vaishnava Toshani, which is commentary to Srila Sanatan Goswami's commentary. Like that, all 10th canto only. So, which are seemingly simple pastimes, simple exchanges. Why it needs so much commentary if it is such a straightforward thing? Right? So, he says, Uddhava was next confronted by the bhava of jealousy, intolerance of others' good fortune. This is Uddhava. And we see that, envy is not possible in the spiritual world. As if lust is possible in the spiritual world, or pride is possible in the spiritual world. None of these spiritual emotions are there in the spiritual world. But the spiritual counterparts are there, which are not products of the three modes. Therefore, many times we say, Kama Krishna Karma Arpane, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. You know, we talk about, you know, this is how you dovetail lust, this is how you dovetail anger. In reality, they are not dovetailable. They have to be removed. You cannot dovetail lust. Kama Krishna Karmarpane. So, I mean, how is it practical? You can even think. If someone has lusty feelings towards the opposite sex, you tell him, look, you don't have to give up your lust. Just direct that lust to the form of the Lord. I mean, does it happen like that? Or you say that someone is angry on someone. Look, wait. Don't give up anger. Just redirect that anger to this other person. Does it happen like that? In one sense, these anarthas have to be removed. They are not dovetailable. So when Narottam Das Thakur says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane Lobha Sadhu Sange Harikata Moha Ishta Labha Vine Mada Krishna Gunagane Niyukta Kariba Yata Tata. He uses the word Niyukta, engage. He's not talking about this material emotions. He's not talking about material lust, material anger. They cannot be utilized in Krishna's service. Actually, what Srila Narottam Das Thakur is suggesting here is don't think that the stage of spiritual perfection is devoid of emotions. The stage of spiritual perfection gives ample scope for dousing yourself with all kinds of emotions. Because it is emotions which bind a person, whether to this material world or spiritual world. So, Srila Narottam Das Thakur is suggesting here that the stage of spiritual perfection is not devoid of emotions. It is not dry. It is rich with all kinds of emotion. There can be lust, there can be anger, there can be greed. But none of that is a manifestation of the three modes. Right? Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this verse, is one of the last purports that he writes. The 10th canto, 13th chapter. From the 14th chapter onwards, Prabhupada's disciples are writing. So he quotes this verse. Kama Krishna Karmarpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane in his purport. He says, Kama, Krodha and Bhaya are always present in this material world. But in the spiritual or transcendental world, one can use them for Krishna. Where one can use them? The spiritual world, where it is not material lust. There is no material lust, anger. So, Prabhupada says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane, he quotes this. The desire of the Paramahamsas, therefore, is to always act for Krishna. Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane, they use anger against the non-devotees. What does it mean? Why would you become angry at a Bhakta Dveshi? Only if we have attachment to the Bhakta. But if we don't have attachment to the Bhakta, why would we become angry on a Bhakta Dveshi? So if you take it as an injunction, it is just suggesting for a sadhaka that be careful about whom you get attached to. Because kamat krodho bijayate. If our kama is for material things, why would krodha manifest for bhakta dveshi? When that object of that kama is taken away, then we will become angry. If the devotee is not the object of our affection or kama, why would we become angry when a devotee is criticized? Right. So, he says, they use anger against the non-devotees and transform bhaya or fear into fear of being deviated from Krishna consciousness. So, if we don't value Krishna consciousness, why would we become fearful of losing Krishna consciousness? Right. So, it is just suggesting a shift of one's value system, paradigm, that's all. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, commenting on this particular verse, he quotes it in his essay in the book Bhaktya Loka. He is describing about Utsahan Nischayat Dhairyat. While talking about Dhairya, patience. Interestingly, he quotes this verse. Kama Krishna Karmarpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Like that. Niyukta Kariba Yata Tata. And he says, the confidential meaning of this song is that the duty of an intelligent person is to direct these urges away from their respective subjects and make them favorable for devotional service. So, you are attached towards something, change your attachment. But he says, this is the most important line he says, that can be done only with patience. That can be done only with patience. What it means? Tada rajastamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye chetayetair anaviddam stitam sattve prasidati. By the practice of devotional service, when the rajastamo bhava gets subsided and one becomes clearly more sattvic, then one develops, and simultaneously when one progresses spiritually, one develops attachment to the right objects. Gurau, Goshte, Goshtalayishu, Sujane, Bhusuragane, like that. Things connected to Krishna. When that attachment happens by the destruction of Rajogun, Tamogun within the heart, then when that object is taken, then it leads to Krodha. But that is not material Krodha which is born out of Rajogun and Tamogun. So, therefore, anyway, I had other things to mention, but I will just end with one small quotation by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In his second canto, towards the end, in one of the purports, he writes, I will just read, just 2 minutes of your time I will take. In the second canto, there is so much description about the universal form. There is hardly any juicy leela there. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur empathizes with the reader. And he says, why do you always speak about the universal form? Why is there so little sweet discussion about the qualities and forms of the Leela Avataras? Again and again, on one side you say that it is a imaginary form, material form. Then speak about the spiritual form, spiritual Leela. Why you are again and again repeating this Srishti Leela? So, in response, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, what you observe is true. To whom should topics about the Leela Avataras be taught with relish? Who are the right recipients of receiving Leela Avatara with relish? He says, those who have perfected bhakti are the Nitya Siddhas, constantly play spontaneously in the sweet ocean of Lord's beauty and pastimes. But those who are sleeping on the bed of bliss of sense pleasure, and those who have fainted in the waves of suffering arising from karma, cannot be woken up. How can pastimes of the Lord be taught to them? Therefore, this crest jewel of Puranas, Bhagavatam, being most merciful, thinking of how to give instruction to make them into sadhaka bhaktas, constantly attempts by some trick or other to wake them up. So, he says, just as a limb which is burned by fire is given relief by fire, and a person haunted by ghost is revived by a ghost mantra. Similarly, Jiva's absorption in the sleep of Maya can be broken only by topics concerning Maya, which does not mean newspaper. Topics concerning Maya means how the Lord interacts with Maya and manifest this Srishti. Srishti Leela, basically. That is the context with which he is describing this. Anyway, it's a long purport, but this is the small point that I wanted to mention. That this verse talks about the devotees giving blessings to Krishna, where in the verse says, it is both anurupa and na anurupa, befitting and not befitting. So, in order to understand how it is befitting, first we should be thorough and grounded with the understanding of how it is not befitting. Otherwise, we will make those blessings befitting in the way that are befitting to us. It is befitting to Krishna, but not the way it is befitting to us. But we may bring Krishna to our level and commit the mistake of avajananti mam muda manushim tanu ashritam, like that. So thank you very much for your patient listening, and I'm sorry I went over time. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.